Good morning.
Well, that time of worship was a real good walking out of what I taught on last Sunday, I think. Yeah, so that's awesome. So talking about prophetic, I'm just going to take a risk here and practice a little bit. This morning, I just had a sense over Nikki and Ian to read a scripture over you, and that's really pretty safe, actually, to take a scripture. So I just want to read over you Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing and bubbling over with hope. I just felt that last part particularly, that you would abound and be bubbling over with hope. And I know we've prayed over Henry already. I just want to speak life over him in the name of Jesus, into every part of his body, that his body would come into perfect alignment, into kingdom alignment, in Jesus' name. Then I also felt just to read a scripture over us as a body. Romans 8, verses 15 to 16. So I just felt like this was what you would call, I guess, a rhema word. You know, the logos is the written word, the whole counsel of God. A rhema word is kind of like a now scripture, and I just sensed that for this morning to read this over you. So if you would just open your hearts and receive it. And you, Maranatha, did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, Beloved Father, or Abba Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us, as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. And in a scripture earlier in that same chapter, it says, if you are not joined to the spirit of the anointed one, you are not of him. And in the footnotes, and by the way, I'm reading the Passion Translation. If you're not joined to the spirit of the anointed one, you cannot be yourself. Isn't that cool? Now, the opposite. So if that's true in that sense, if you're not joined to the Spirit, then if you are joined to the Spirit of the Lord, you are the most real self you could ever be. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So we've been talking about worship for the last, this is the fourth time now. I think after this Sunday, next Sunday, I think we will do a question and answer. So if you want to come prepared with some questions, we'll see if we can find the answers together. So the theme scripture, I just want to put up there again, if you could do that, Peter. There it is. Okay. Psalm 102, 18 to 20. We won't read the passage, but the gist of it is that recreated ones will declare the praises of God until the last enemy, death itself, will come under our feet as it is already under the feet of Jesus. And last Sunday, we talked about worship as a lifestyle, and among other things. But as I was thinking and meditating on worship as a lifestyle, I felt like God asked me a question. What is the lifestyle of a worshiper? Well, my first thought was worship, of course. The lifestyle of a worshiper would be to spend time expressing worship to God, spending time ministering to Him. But then I heard God answer His own question. I sensed He said, the lifestyle of a worshiper is beholding me. The lifestyle of a worshiper is a lifestyle of looking at God and seeing His beauty. Psalm 27, verse 4, where David says, one thing I have asked, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Anyone who looks at God and sees who He truly is will respond in worship. If Jesus was here now, in all His glory, I don't think there'd be one person standing. Your whole being would be involved in worship. Okay, so how do we look at God? How do we behold Him? Well, the scripture says we can come boldly to the throne. We have free and bold access. Ephesians 2 verse 18 says, and now, because we are united to Christ and to each other, we both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. And we're all priests. All of us. Remember we said in the Old Testament, they chose the Levitical priesthood, but that really wasn't what God wanted. He was inviting everyone to be a priest. But now in the new covenant, He says, you are priests, all of us. And the meaning of a priest is that you have access. The priest could go into the Holy of Holies. We have free access to God. Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. The Passion says, so now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. We are invited to come with confidence, not timidly approaching the throne, but to come boldly with confidence as sons and daughters. Now, we don't want to come with arrogance either. But the boldness, the confidence that we have, that we, like we said, are fully accepted and that we are in Christ. I like to take scripture passages where people had encounters with God, like Revelation chapter 1. Jesus, I look into your eyes, flashing like flames of fire, filled with fiery love. I look into your face, shining like the sun in full power at noonday. Jesus, you are the awesome one. You are the worthy one. You are the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. You are the lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the almighty one, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. You are the ancient of days, the ever-living one. You were dead, and now you're alive forevermore. Jesus, you are majestic and holy and awesome. Abba, Father, I come to sit in your lap and receive your love. Thank you, you revealed yourself in Jesus, who is the exact radiance of your glory. Thank you, you love me just like you love Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're in me. Thank you, you're one with me. Thank you, Spirit of wisdom and revelation, you're bringing revelation according to Ephesians 1:18. Thank you, you're flooding me with light so that I'm coming to know Abba, Father, and the power that is at work in me, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. What brings Christianity out of the realm of religion is the relationship we can have with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He really talks to us. He really teaches us. He really intimately knows us. And he really loves us in the same way he loves Jesus. And we've been gifted with the intimate relationship that Jesus has with Abba Father through our oneness with Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit has nothing better to do than to have relationship with you. I have already, and I'm going to be referring to a few more things from the book Spirit Life Training by Timothy Jorgensen. After Jesus rose from the dead, his job was not complete until he could get his disciples into the same position that he had. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts 1 verse 3, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The promise was the person of Holy Spirit. He emphasizes the importance of being rooted into this place in the Spirit. Some think this is just a one-time thing. And oh, it happened one time in the past, and it was good, but that's the extent of it. But it's actually a doorway into the position in the Spirit that God has for us. It's this place he wants us to live for the rest of our lives. I think this position could be what is meant. Oops, I'm a little bit behind. In John 4, 24. This is a story of the woman at the well where Jesus responds to her question about where is the proper place to worship, Jerusalem or this mountain where the Samaritans worship. And Jesus declared, believe you, me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. I've shared this a couple of years ago, and I want to share it again. As Jonathan Welton shared, that Jesus is saying there's a whole new location for proper worship. The place the Jews worshipped and the place the Samaritans worshipped would both be voided, and a new place set up. Worship must take place in spirit and in truth. This is a location. Because God is spirit, our worship must be in the spirit realm. The word truth can be translated reality, the manifested essence of a matter. The spirit of truth is the spirit of reality. Hence, spiritual reality must be in the Holy Spirit. God is spirit, and everything related to God has to be in spirit. We do not worship God merely in the physical realm. We are to touch and tap into the spirit reality, which is the superior reality. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. This is a present reality, and we're to tap into that reality. And as we said last week, worship is more than our time of expressing worship with music. It's a lifestyle. So we are to tap into the spirit reality, the superior reality, in all of life. And remember, we said this was meant to be as easy as breathing. Now we're to tap into this reality as individuals and as a corporate body. I want to read Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything, and everything they may ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. This is an amazing promise that I don't think we've come near to seeing the potential. The power of agreement, the power of unity, the power of oneness. It's powerful when two or three gather together in unity. That's what this scripture is saying. What about when more come together in unity? 100, 200, 1,000, 2,000. But the thing is, just coming together doesn't necessarily mean that we're in agreement or that it's powerful. Or it could be powerful in the negative. If we look at Genesis 11, verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible to them. This was at the Tower of Babel. So this reveals the power of unity in the negative. Would not unity in the spirit be more powerful? In the scripture in Matthew, the word for agree is symphonial. It's where we get the word symphony from. It means to sound together. Now, every one of us, every one of you, has your own sound, your own frequency, your own song. Your DNA is actually a song. And they've actually played people's DNA. They've played animals' DNA. Yeah, so it is an actual song. So when you have a symphony, there are many different instruments, some very, very different from each other. And they first of all have to tune to the same pitch. They have to resonate with each other. And then they have to follow the conductor to play their sound at the right time. They sound together. Now, according to Romans 12, verse 1, we read that last week, that we're to present ourselves as instruments of righteousness or instruments of worship. You are an instrument. You and I are part of this symphony. Everyone's frequency, everyone's sound, everyone's song is absolutely vital. Now, we have worship teams, and they're wonderful, and they have a grace and an anointing to lead. But all that means is they're going in front as lead worshipers. You're part of the team. You're part of the symphony. When we come together corporately, there's the individual anointing, and that's powerful. But then there's the corporate anointing. And I believe that's what these verses in Matthew are talking about. For the release of this corporate anointing, everyone's sound is vital. Not that God needs it, but we need it. God spoke, he actually sang the universe into being. We respond back to him with sound. Throughout Scripture, there are so many verses that encourage singing. I do believe the human voice is the most powerful instrument of all instruments. And I love instruments. I love all of them. I love all the creativity of worship that's expressed in different ways in this place and in other places. But we need the sound of the human voice. And as we each make our individual sound, we release a frequency. We actually release our spirits. And as we do that with a heart of unity in a united pursuit of him, in expectancy, could that be when corporate anointing is released? Corporate anointing is when you have exponential increase. A moment becomes pregnant and it explodes into possibility because it's not just through laying on of hands by one person. It's not just addressing one person. Something takes place in the room where it is actually multiplied. Sometimes miracles just happen. Bill Johnson tells of a time when he knew the healing presence of Jesus had just come into the room. So he stopped and spoke it out. The healing presence of Jesus just came in the room. And a man with prostate cancer was completely healed in that moment. Miracles happened all over the room that day. Now you say, but he's here already. Yeah, he is. But he came different. Something happened. Something was released. Maybe angels walked into the room. Heaven came in a new way. An increased measure of manifest presence walked into the room. And there wasn't unbelief in the room to shut down the corporate anointing. Bill Johnson went on to explain how when Jesus could do no mighty miracles except heal a few sick people, he explains it this way, that unbelief had shut down the corporate anointing, but nobody could shut down his individual anointing, so he could heal a few individuals. And he explains more about that, but we won't take the time to go into that. Now, what kind of things might shut down a corporate anointing? Unbelief, strife, divisiveness, grumbling, complaining, all those wonderful things. What might foster the corporate anointing? Believing hearts, expectancy, hope, which is the confident expectation of good, unity of the Spirit, though not sameness, love, freedom in the Spirit, a culture of honor, being of one mind, one heart, hunger, desire, honoring and stewarding the presence. I think a key is learning to release our spirits in worship in all the different expressions. And then I want to just talk about something else that I do believe can contribute to releasing corporate anointing. And that is the power of singing in the Spirit together. Praying and singing in native language is important, but limited to what our minds can grasp and must involve our souls. Our spirits are way more advanced than our souls, and they are one with Holy Spirit. God has given us the ability to bypass the limitations of our own natural minds and to tap directly into the mind of God. In Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, each one received a deposit of the Spirit and began to speak in tongues. Ever since the Tower of Babel, there have been differing languages in the earth to communicate with. In each country, if we want to get things done, we must communicate in the native language. What about the country of heaven? Praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues opens up the world of the Spirit to communicate and direct things there. It's like we're going directly to the source of things in the realm of the Spirit to deal with them there. Our weaknesses is that our minds do not know the source of situations. There's like a groaning in our spirits that suffers because of this tension between soul and spirit, mind and spirit. Romans 8:26 to 28 speaks about that tension. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I believe there's a difference between prayer language that is given to us and the gift of speaking in tongues, which requires an interpretation. And we could talk more about that, but that's all I'll say about that for now. So basically, praying in the Spirit is like a hotline straight to the Spirit of God and the will of God. Praying in the Spirit activates the Holy Spirit and our spirit without first having to check with the soul, without having to be in agreement, without the soul having to be in agreement. And it's releasing rivers of living water from within. John 7, verse 38 and 39 says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water." Now, this dunamis power is in you. You are one, actually, with dunamis power. You are one with this electrical current. I believe that the prayer language that I believe all of us receive activates that. Ephesians 5, verse 19, where it talks about being filled. I've referred to that scripture before. It says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the language there is the idea of being continuously filled. Some people would say it's just a one-time thing. I do believe there are scriptures throughout Acts and different scriptures that would indicate that people received again, that they were filled again. That's my personal belief. So I personally like to ask the Holy Spirit to fill me often. But here it talks, then it says, after it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we said that that actually indicates being intoxicated with the Holy Spirit. It says, speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs being spontaneous songs of the Spirit. Mike Bickle says that written songs are like runways meant to help us take off into the spontaneous songs of the Spirit. And in this way, I believe we are tapping into the spirit realm, and the corporate anointing is released more intensely. Not that it can't be released through written songs and through all the other expressions of worship, but I believe that this has an intensity added to it. And we are releasing our spirits, and we're releasing Holy Spirit, the dunamis power that's within you. First Corinthians 14 says, I will sing with my spirit, I will sing with my mind. I will pray with my spirit, I will pray with my mind. Sing a melody, syllables, words, scripture, releasing sounds, releasing tongues, releasing your prayer language, bubbling up from your innermost being, releasing your spirit, releasing corporate anointing. Some things you can only get in the secret place, in your own intimate relationship with God, building your own history with God. There are other things you can only get in the corporate anointing. You can hear teaching online, really good teaching. You can even watch praise and worship online. But I don't think you can experience or encounter the corporate anointing without gathering together. Tapping into this corporate anointing is what we desire to grow in. In the beginning of this series, I read a prophetic word, and I just want to refer back to part of it. In one dream, this is the man who is sharing the word, I saw a 2-hour worship time, and I knew this was normal. People were coming to church to worship. For 2 hours, hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands, were all caught up together, and they were dripping with oil. It was the oil of unity. The oil that saturated them was removing the friction of competition and different visions, and everyone was together, even though they were very different. John 17, verses 21 to 31. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. This is our heart. Holy Spirit, we just say this morning, this is our heart's cry. So we invite you. To move among us. We invite that spirit of unity. Thank you that you have given us your glory that we might be one. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we want to walk in this corporate anointing, this place, this position in the Spirit. We want to worship you in this realm of the Spirit and encounter you again and again and again. And be in that place where now nothing is impossible to us. Just want to invite you this morning we're just going to take some time to sing in the Spirit together. And maybe some of you, well, you say, well, I don't have a prayer language, you know that the possibility is there that you might get one this morning, or actually be just release it. So I just want to invite you into a time of singing in the Spirit. We'll just start with a chorus of hopefully a very familiar song, and we'll go from there. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow.
I just felt like I heard. I just have a sense that the Father is singing over you. And I feel like this is what he's singing. I see you're beautiful to me. I'm singing songs of love. I'm singing a song of love over you. I see you in my son. I see you in my son. And you're beautiful. Receive my love. Receive my love. Oh. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you this morning. I just ask that you would release a corporate infilling. That you'd fill us up into every part of our soul, every part of our body, filled with the glory. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just feel like the Holy Spirit is here to release a strength into you, where any place of weariness, he's releasing strength. And you can just receive that. A new strength. And I just speak right now, creative solutions. Wherever there's a problem or sticky situations, that you will have creative solutions by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so good. You're so good. You're so kind. You're so kind. Yeah. Now, we do have food waiting out for us. So I'm just going to give thanks for the food. And then I'm going to ask if you guys would play, I don't know, I'm thinking the last song that you sang. Yeah. What do you think of that? Yeah. I think we need to end with some dancing. Yeah. Okay. Jay has something.
This one going? Good. I just had a picture while we were beginning to sing, and I just wanted to share with you, it's a very simple picture. I had a picture of roots, and they were like lighting up and growing deeper. And Daniel, in line, I just felt it was in line also with what you were sharing before, that dancing on when things are not going well, And the sign of victory is being able to dance through those times. The picture, I think, related to that, in that when the roots are growing deeper, they're able. It's like a tree planted by streams of living water, or by water. You're able to pick up that nourishment when times are drier or when things are not going well. So it's just that connection with being able to worship when things are not happening well, and yeah, just that. And I felt it was for everybody. It's not just a one person thing. It collectively, corporately, that the roots went deeper today, and that there will be an easiness in more of an easiness in dancing on those tough times.
Yeah. That's good. Thanks, Jay. Yeah, we receive that. Say, I receive that for myself. Yeah. Amen.